Dr. B. R. Ambedkar Open University presents Education at Your Doorstep, a program of learning for everyone.
Well, listeners, we now bring you a lesson from English for second year students titled The Old Man and the Sea by Dr. Murali Krishna.
Hello, listeners. Today's program is on The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway. As you know, this text has been prescribed for you in course 1 of the second year undergraduate program. It is a famous novel for which Hemingway received the Nobel Prize in 1954. The novel describes the struggle between man and nature. In the novel, man is represented by the aged fisherman, the old man, Santiago, and nature is represented by the sea and the large fish. Let me briefly recount to you the story of the novel before you listen to two of our experts telling you about a critical approach to the novel. The main theme is the story of the old fisherman going out to sea in search of a big catch, a big fish. He has to go alone because his earlier companion, a young boy called Manolin, is not allowed to go with him. Ironically enough, when he goes out to sea alone, Santiago does catch a big fish, a giant marlin. Unfortunately for him, he does not have anyone to help him to pull it to shore. His fight with the fish goes on for 2 days. Finally, he courageously ties it to his boat and begins his homeward journey. But on the way back, sharks attack his prize catch and eat the whole fish, leaving only a giant skeleton behind. The story ends with the exhausted fisherman reaching the shore and sleeping and dreaming of his past glory, while everyone around him admires the remains of his great catch. Let us now see how Hemingway weaves this narrative into a symbolic story of his own life.
Old Man and the Sea is a novel that has never ceased to inspire admiration. Reading it every time is like reading it anew. I am sure our students too have enjoyed reading it. Today, in this discussion, let us look at the novel as a personal parable and the significance of the role of the boy and the frequent mention of the lions.
I think this is a very good idea. One of the several ways of looking at The Old Man and the Sea is to regard it as a personal parable, as a symbolic representation of the artist Hemingway and his struggle with his art. The old man can be seen as Hemingway himself, and the great fish, along with the sharks, as Hemingway's critics who tried to damage his literary reputation.
Yes. We all know how much Hemingway suffered at the hands of ruthless critics. Actually, Hemingway himself encouraged this attempt to identify him with the old man Santiago. In fact, as a response to the Nobel Award in 1954, Hemingway had written, "It is because we have had such great writers in the past that a writer is driven far out, where he can go, out to where no one can help him." This is obviously a reference to Santiago's journey into the sea and his enriching adventure there.
Well, both Santiago and Hemingway are champions in their respective fields. The Old Man and the Sea is Hemingway's personal struggle, grim and resolute. His seriousness, his precision, his perfectionism is like how Santiago sees his craft of fishing. In fact, the fishing and the fisherman turn out to be metaphors which strike us as being very apt. Santiago is a master who sets his lime with more care than his fellows. But he has no luck anymore. It would be better to be lucky, he thinks, but he will be exact instead. And he says, then when luck comes, I'll be ready for it.
Exactly. Santiago is an expert who keeps his fishing line straighter than anyone else does. This expert fisherman's technique has obvious resemblance to Hemingway, the skilled artist. Furthermore, Santiago feels a great respect and love for the giant marlin. He struggles determinedly to master it. He fights too against the greedy sharks who seek to destroy the beauty and magnificence of his prize. He remains essentially undefeated and hopes, despite failure, to go out to sea again. All this Hemingway himself had been doing in the practice of his art.
In fact, much of Hemingway's writing clearly reveals biographical origins. It is generally agreed that in his fiction of the 1920s and early 1930s, which is based upon experiences of his boyhood and young manhood, Hemingway very successfully fused the public and the private. The popular appeal of Hemingway's early fiction can be largely attributed to this successful merging of his private emotional concerns with the concerns of his reading public.
However, this merging of the private and the public proved difficult for Hemingway to achieve in his later fiction, and this evoked a lot of aggressive criticism. It was in this hostile critical climate that he wrote The Old Man and the Sea. It is possible to interpret the story of Santiago as a symbolic representation of Hemingway's vision of himself in 1952. Santiago, the expert fisherman, is Hemingway, the conscientious writer, the meticulous craftsman dedicated, like Santiago, to his vocation. Santiago's faded reputation as a champion represents Hemingway's literary reputation in the early 1950s. The great Marlin in the story represents Hemingway's achievement in having produced this masterpiece. The sharks represent the critics who had ruthlessly attacked Hemingway. Santiago, suffering from the loss of his painfully acquired big marlin to the shark, dramatizes Hemingway's suffering from critics' attacks on Across the River and Into the Trees, in which his ego, particularly his own fear of growing old and dying, was deeply involved. Or more generally, the sharks may be said to represent all the forces, external or internal, which work against a craftsman's achievement of unchallenged championship.
But the success of The Old Man and the Sea lies in the fact that Santiago is also a hero from whom Hemingway is able to maintain some critical distance. The elemental simplicity of the humble Cuban fisherman and his adventure separate him clearly from any direct and literal identification with Hemingway's complex personality. This distance between the hero and his creator makes Santiago a symbol of common human experience. Many readers respond positively to Santiago's resolve, struggle, and to his spiritual transcendence of physical defeat.
This being so, I am also fascinated with the role of the boy in the novel. Manolin is a symbol of Santiago's lost youth. At the beginning and at the end of the story, we watch Santiago from the boy's admiring and sympathizing eyes. Manolin brings for Santiago a supper of black beans and rice, fried bananas, stew, and 2 bottles of beer. On the morning of the expedition, Manolin arranges for the simple breakfast of coffee in condensed milk cans. He also procures the albacores and sardines, which Santiago will use as bait. After helping to launch the skiff, the boy sees Santiago off in the dark, wishing him luck on this 85th day.
At the close of the story again, after the ordeal, Manolin brings coffee and food for the old man's waking, an ointment for his injured hands. The love of Manolin for Santiago is that of a disciple for a master in the art and technique of fishing. It is also an evolving relationship similar to the love of a son for a father.
But from Santiago's point of view, the relationship goes deeper. Through the being of Manolin, he is able to recapture in his imagination his youth. During his ordeal, the old man says a number of times, "I wish the boy was here, and I wish I had the boy." The presence of the boy would have been of help at this time of crisis. At such times, he is also invoking the strength and courage of his youth. Soon after, he has hooked the marlin and knows that he must hang on to the line for some time. Santiago says, "I wish I had the boy." Immediately, his resolution tightens. During the first night in the sea, he reflects, "No one should be alone in their old age." Again, and as if the mere mention of the boy were a magic formula, he resolves to eat the tuna he has caught in order to keep strong. Later the same night, he says aloud, "I wish the boy was here," and promptly settles himself against the planks of the skiff for another period of endurance. As he summons the courage to eat the raw tuna for breakfast on the second day, he links the boy and the salt that he needs. "I wish the boy were here and that I had some salt." But immediately afterwards, he proves to himself that he has enough strength of both to eat the tuna and renew his declining strength. Repeatedly, we find that Santiago's strength is renewed by thoughts of the boy. In many ways, the boy keeps him alive.
Yes, very much so. It would not be out of place to discuss another inspirational image for the old man. For instance, the memory of the lions. During the night, when he is preparing for a possible attack by the sharks, Santiago makes use of the image of a pride of lions he once saw playing on an African beach when he was a young man like Manolin. In fact, a clear symbolic connection between the boy and the lions had already been established early in the story. I quote, "When I was your age," Santiago said to Manolin, "I was before the mast on a square rigged ship that ran to Africa, and I have seen the lions on the beaches in the evening." Manolin had replied, "I know, you told me." This reply shows not only that the recollection had occurred before in their conversations, but also that the incident of lions is a pleasing obsession in Santiago's mind. This image of the lions, of his youthful experience, also proves a source of strength to Santiago in his old age.
Interestingly, the night before his ordeal, after the boy had left him to sleep, the old man dreamt of the lions. He dreamt of Africa when he was a boy, and the long golden beaches so white as to hurt the eyes. Hemingway says, "Santiago no longer dreamed of storms, nor of women, nor of great occurrences, nor of great fish, nor fights, nor contests of strength, nor of his wife. He only dreamed of places now and of the lions on the beach. They played like young cats in the dusk, and he loved them as he loved the boy." Early in the afternoon of his second day out, Santiago thinks again about his lions. "The marlin is pulling steadily. I wish he would sleep, and that I could sleep and dream about the lions." Later, the same day, the old man manages to sleep and he begins to dream. In the dream, he sees the first of the lions come down to the seacoast in the early dark, and then the other lions coming. The dream makes him happy.
The powerful use of symbols in the novel show why The Old Man and the Sea is an all-time classic. In a way, they lift the novel from the level of the mundane, take it beyond the constraints of time and place, and lend it eternity.
Yes, and maybe as an appropriate ending to this discussion, we can once again recall the famous words of Santiago. I quote Hemingway here, "But man is not made for defeat. A man can be destroyed, but not defeated." I unquote.
The Old Man and the Sea. That was a lesson brought to you from English for second year students.